I remember a time back, I think it was when I was in about kindergarten, that I loved the water, particularly in the summer times, and I know most of you are probably like that as well. But there was only one problem. The problem was, at that particular point in my life, I didn't know how to swim. So I always had to be very, very careful if I was at a swimming pool or something, that I made sure that I stayed in the shallow water. It was interesting that the pool that I can remember from way back when actually had a really steep drop-off when you got to where they used to have the rope and the little floaty things on it. But if you got there, your foot could actually feel where it would drop off into the deep water. But the bottom line was, I was afraid of the deep water. The reason I was afraid of the deep water was because I didn't know how to swim. So the deep water became a place for fear in my life at that particular point. After I was able to swim, it wasn't so much. But at that particular time, scared me to death to get anywhere near close to the deep end. Well, today, we're going to look at some passages. We're going to look at another miracle of the Messiah. And I called it the catch of fish. It comes out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. And we're going to talk about some deep water doings. So grab your Bible, come on back, turn it to Luke chapter 5, and I'll see you in just a second. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church. I am so glad that you are joining us today. We're going to gather once again around God's Word and just have a good look at yet another miracle that the Messiah has done and how these things can affect our lives, how they teach each and every one of us. Now, we're actually going to be looking at passages that come out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, particularly verses 1 through 11. But once again, I'm going to kind of break these scriptures down. I'm just going to give them to you a few at a time instead of just throwing them at you all at once. And remember, you know, as we look at what's taking place, there's a few things that we can learn in this particular passage that are relevant to us, particularly in our day and age. And one of the things is simply this. The Lord calls us to the deep waters. You know, some of us may be fearful. He calls us to do things that we cannot do. Now, I've expressed this in preaching about this particular passage in my church many, many times, and the expression that I have given to them is simply this. You know, the deep water is where the storms are. The deep water is where you die without the Lord being with you. But the deep water is also where the fish are. And the Lord calls us to that, okay? He is calling you and I to deeper waters. I've said before that sometimes what happens is we can find ourselves about ankle deep in water, acting like that we're in all kinds of, doing all kinds of things and being what God wants us to be, and it's nowhere near what God wants us to be. He's calling us to a deeper water experience, just like we're going to look at here in Luke chapter 5, all right? So Luke chapter 5, particularly verse 4, says this. It says, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." So the background of this is that Jesus has been there. He's been teaching. There's been a lot of people that have gathered around. His ministry and his preaching is gaining a lot of traction. There are people that are coming from all over to hear him. And notice what verse 4 said. It says, "And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch." See, Jesus asked Simon to venture into deeper waters after a fruitless night of fishing. Now, Jesus knew all this that was taking place. He knew all that was going on. Sometimes people get a little upset that, you know, I ask them, say, "Hey, did you go fishing?" And said, "No, I just went, you know, wasting time because I wasn't catching anything." There's a difference between fishing and catching. You know, fishing's the act of going. Catching's when you're actually catching something. It's really fun when you're catching. Now, you know, Simon had been out there, and it says that the word tells us they had toiled all night and they hadn't caught anything. Now, that's a little bit more critical because they weren't simply fishing for recreation. They were fishing so that they would be able to have something to eat. They would not only have something to eat, they would have some fish that they could sell for monetary value to be able to take care of necessities in the home. So this is not just a bad night out on the water, and a recreational fishing. They had been out there, and the word tells us that all night, they had toiled all night, and they hadn't caught a single thing. Now, they've come back in, and historically what they would do after a night like that, they come back, and just like anybody else, they had to get everything squared away and ready for their next trip. So oftentimes you would hear of the fishermen, when they came back in, they would have to mend the nets. They would have to get everything ready for the next time that they went out. Now remember, they're tired. They have been out all night, and despite being tired and skeptical, Simon obeys his command. You know, I can just imagine what that must have been like when Jesus says, hey, I want you to launch out into the deep. And Simon's been like, look, man, I'm a professional fisherman. I do this for a living. It's been a bad night. I don't want to do this. I'm tired. I want to go home. What for? This is what I do for a living. You don't fish for a living. I do. I know what it's like. This is not the time for us to catch. There are 10,000 excuses and 10,000 reasons that Simon could have come up with for reasons not to be obedient to what Jesus had just asked him to do. The same is true for you and I. We can come up with 10,000 reasons why we don't want to do what Jesus has asked us to do. So despite being tired, despite being skeptical, Simon obeys Jesus' command and launches out into the deep. Now, this request signifies a call to deeper faith and trust beyond our comfort zones. See, we do a really good job at functioning in our comfort zones. It's when we start to get outside of those comfort zones that we find ourselves challenged. We find ourselves, you know, nervous. We find ourselves in territories that maybe we've been there before, but we just don't like to be in those territories because we're not good at it. Yeah, it's not something that is comfortable for us. So the request that Jesus made of them signified this a call to a deeper faith and a trust beyond what their comfort zone was. And this is something that challenges us to rely on Jesus' guidance rather than our own understanding. I love Proverbs 3:5-7. Now, some of you might have said, okay, I know that one. That's my life's verse, but most of the time it's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I like to add verse 7 in there. So Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 says this. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. All right? Verse 7 says this. Be not wise in thine own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. Okay? That's what we should do. You know, too many times we're wise in our own eyes, or we think that we know what's right, or we think that we know what's better. How often has the Lord asked us to do something and we're like, man, I'm not going to do that. There's no way I'm going to do that. I'm the one who understands this. I'm the professional at this. And yet what's happened is, how many times do we miss out on the blessings of God because we're too stubborn to be obedient to what he's asked us to do? And sometimes what he's asking us to do is beyond our comfort zone, all right? You got to understand Jesus' guidance rather than our own understanding. Yeah. So let me ask you today, are there areas in your life where God is calling you to trust him more deeply? Now ponder that for just a moment. The reason I say that is the Holy Spirit will put the answer to that question in your mind. The Holy Spirit will be prompting you even as we go through this time of Bible study and as we go through this time of Scripture. So are there areas in your life where God is calling you to trust him more deeply? He's calling you out of the shallow water. He is calling you into the deep, okay? Listen, pray for the courage to step into the unknown under his direction. Now, that's a caveat I want to throw in there. Under his direction, you need to make sure that it is God who is calling you, because Satan himself likes to disguise himself as an angel of light. And too many times people are hearing the voice of the evil one and following it rather than the voice of our Savior. And how will you know that? That's the next question that I always get. How do you know that it is the will of God? Well, I can promise you this, and here's the litmus test that works 100% of the time. Sift it through the Word of God. Sift it through prayer, because I will promise you that the Lord will never, 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 never ask you to do something that he will not confirm in his word, or that violates anything that is in his word. If it violates something in his word, I will make you a 100% guarantee that the Lord is not calling you to do that. Okay? So think about those areas in your life where He is calling you to trust Him more deeply and be courageous enough to step into the unknown under His direction. Remember what I said about the deep waters a minute ago. When you start going out into the deep water, that's where the big waves are. That's where the storms are. That's where you die without the Lord. But guess what else is out there in the deep water? That's where the fish are. That's exactly what He's calling us to do. He's calling us to go to the place where the fish are. Okay. Another thing I want us to see out of this particular passage is that we need to be trusting Jesus' word. And when I say Jesus, I'm talking about trusting in the word that He says. Luke chapter 5, verse 5 says this. It says, Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets. In other words, he said, he kind of stated his position. Lord, I'm a professional fisherman. We've been doing this all night. We hadn't caught anything, but I'm going to digress. Because you are asking me to do this, then we're going to go ahead and do that. You know, because what did he say at the end of verse 5? Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Now, I will just about guarantee you that if anybody else would have gone to Simon and said, hey, look, why don't y'all go out now? I think there's a big pile of fish out there. Simon would probably said, no way, man. We've been out all night. No. This is just not a good day. We're just going to go out tomorrow. But because Jesus asked him to, he says, at your word, we will push out into the deep and we will let down our nets. Okay? Despite previous failure, Simon takes Jesus at his word and he acts accordingly. Isn't that something that we've been talking about, particularly through the miracles? We have been talking about being obedient to the call of what the Lord is saying to each and every one of us. And too many times what happens is we will be discouraged when we have done something in the past and we have failed. That is one of the biggest hindrances to us actually making progress and going forward. People all the time will say to me, they're like, well, I tried that and it failed. It didn't work. It didn't do good. Well, you know what? Maybe it didn't when you did it before. Maybe it wasn't God's time. Maybe it wasn't the right place. There are so many factors that can play into those things. So I want to encourage you, do not let previous failure define you in circumstances and situations. So despite previous failure, Simon takes Jesus at his word and he acts accordingly. So when the Lord's asking you to do it, it's completely different than when you think it's a good idea to do it. We need to be 100% obedient to the Master all the time. We just talked about that last week as well. You see, this act of trust precedes a miraculous catch. You know, what if Simon hadn't have been, faithful and obedient? What if he'd have said, I'm not doing it, man. I'm tired. I'm going home. I've got to fix the nets. I'll be back out tonight, but no, I'm a professional fisherman and I'm not going to do it. Well, guess what? The catch wouldn't have been there had he not been obedient. You see, obedience to Jesus' instruction, even when it contradicts our experience or logic, is a demonstration of faith that can yield unexpected blessings. Did you get that? Yeah. Even when it contradicts our experience. Remember, Simon was a professional fisherman. Even when it goes against logic. You know, the time that Jesus told him to go out there and let the nets down probably wasn't prime fishing time. Now, like I said, I grew up in the country, and it may be different in different areas. But you know what? In the heat of the day, wasn't the best time to go out fishing. As a matter of fact, fairly early in the morning or when the sun started to go down, that was when the fish would be moving and they'd be feeding along the banks and under the rocks. That was the best time to go fishing. Yet nobody was going to sit back and say, let's go out at 12 noon today and let's start fishing. We'd be sitting there going, man, you're crazy. That's not the right time. That defies logic. Did you get that? Obedience to Jesus' instructions, even when it contradicts our experience or logic, is a demonstration of faith that can yield unexpected blessings. See, when faced with uncertainty, choose to act in faith based on Jesus' promises. Remember, we've been talking about Jesus' promises. His word is 100% all the time. If he promises you something in his word, 100% of the time, It's right, true, correct, and it is still valid today. Sometimes people sit back and say, well, the Bible's, you know, it's older, it's a history book. Well, I can tell you right now, not yet. It is a history book, but it is a living word. It is applicable to you and I today just as much as it was back then. The same promises that Jesus gave Simon, he gives you and I today. Okay? Reflect on those past experiences where trusting in his word led to some positive outcomes. I call those things spiritual markers. You know what? When you can look back over your shoulder and you can look down the path that you have come and you see all these flags of spiritual markers where the Lord showed up and did some incredible things, I always run me up a little spiritual marker so I can look back and see and remember those things and realize that when I had no idea how it was going to turn out and I trusted God, look at what he did with the situation. Look at how it came out. Unexpected blessings happened along the way, and unexpected blessings will happen along the way when we trust him, when we act in faith based on his promises. Now, that's not meaning you can just go out and do it your way and have that same expectation. You have to be led by the Holy Spirit in what Christ is wanting you to do. Notice what I said, you know, choosing to act in a faith-based choosing to act in faith based on Jesus' promises. That's what we're talking about, okay? And think about those past experiences. Do you have spiritual markers and little flagpoles in your life that you can look back over and say, look how faithful God was back here? Now, there's a reason I say we do that as well. It's an old hymn I love. It's called Count Your Blessings. How many times do we get in that negative attitude? If you start to count your blessings and you start to look back over at those spiritual markers, it can change your whole attitude. It can change your whole outlook. It can change you from being a sour, nasty person into something that is glorious and overflowing with the Spirit. I want to challenge you to do that when you have those tough days. A third thing that I want us to see out of our scripture today is that there's a result, and that result of faithful obedience brings about that blessing. Look with me, if you would, Luke chapter 5, particularly verses 6 and 7. It says, and when they had done this, remember what we're talking about is Jesus told them to launch out into the deep, and he told them to let down their net. Simon says, you know what, I think it's pretty useless, but because you've asked me to, we're going to go ahead and do that. And then it says, and when they had done this, when they let the nets down, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Now, Simon's obedience resulted in an overwhelming, miraculous catch, a catch like he had never seen before. The professional fisherman had just been staggered, but the professional fisherman, because he was obedient, had just been rewarded with the greatest catch of his life. Think about that for a moment. A miraculous catch, blessing not just him, but those around him. Now, I've always said that this is often, you know, overlooked or glazed over when you hear this passage preached about, but get the picture in your mind. Simon's obedient. He does what Jesus says. He puts down the nets. It is a record catch. In fact, one of the other gospels, it says this. It says that when the nets were so full that as they pulled them in, the boat began to sink. So there were some other boats out there. They weren't catching fish like that. And Simon hollers at him and says, hey, you guys come on over here, man. We need some help. Look at this catch we've got. Y'all come on over. So they came on over and helped out with it. And then notice what the word says. It says, and they came and filled, this is actually verse 7. Yeah, verse 7. It says, and they came and filled both boats, not just their boat, but the boat of those who had not been catching anything. Now, folks, I could take off on a completely different Bible study and a completely different tangent right here. But too many times, Christian people seem to be in competition with one another. Churches seem to be in competition with one another. And that's not what God put us here for. We all should be about the kingdom's work. What is going to enhance the kingdom? Think about this for a minute. There were others that didn't have the catch, and Simon called out to them and said, come over here. We've got fish. and they filled both boats. Now, that didn't mean that by the time they got to the shore, Simon said, thanks for your help, unload that boat over into ours. There was enough fish for everybody. Everybody was blessed because of the miracle that had taken place. It says they came and filled both the boats, so they began to sink. Both of them, there was so much of a load of fish in each of those boats that they barely got them to shore before they sank. That blessing was for everyone. Simon's obedience resulted in an overwhelming, miraculous catch, blessing not just him, but even those that were around him. Okay? Faithful obedience to God often leads to blessings that extend beyond ourselves and things that are impacting to our community and things that impact our families and our friends. And here's the key, they're glorifying God. Man, he wants to do some incredible things in and through your life so that others might see those things and what? Glorify him, not glorify you. Too many times we start to get proud. Too many times we think it's what we are doing. We think that we are self-sufficient. You know, we talked about that not too many weeks ago in one of the seven churches at Asia Minor, that they thought they were all that and a box of chocolate. Okay? And the Lord said, you know what? You, the problem is you're doing all the right stuff, but for all the wrong reasons. Okay? So this was a great miracle. It impacted not only those in Simon's boat and those that got to see it, but those that were in the other boats. And I'm sure that there were people looking on going, mercy, I have never seen a catch that big. Something incredible is going on. They knew that it wasn't because Simon was just a good fisherman. They knew that it wasn't just because they had gone out and teamed up or something. They watched what happened. They realized that it was something that had been done supernaturally by the hand of God, okay? Think about it for a minute. Evaluate how your obedience to God can be a testimony and a blessing to other people. I want you to ponder that for a moment. I want you to ponder that not only during our Bible study, but I want you to ponder that, you know, after our Bible study. Let the Holy Spirit guide you along the way as you consider this thing. How can your obedience to God be a testimony and a blessing to other people? Can you share stories of God's faithfulness in your life to encourage their faith walk? Man, I know that there have been times in my life when I've been going through some things and I've turned to some trusted counsel and they have shared some things that were similar that happened in their lives and they shared how the Lord had brought victory. Boy, those are encouraging words, particularly when you're walking down a dark, dusty road, as they say, and we're working on our faith, okay? So you know, may you be able to tell those stories to others because you have experienced them. Remember, we talked about what witness meant last week. A witness can only testify to what he or she has personally seen. If it's what somebody else saw or heard, then it's hearsay, and the Lord calls us to be witnesses. What's he doing in your life that you can share with others that could be an encouragement and a blessing to them? You see, the passage in Luke 5, particularly verses 1 through 11, teaches us the importance of venturing into the deeper waters of faith and trusting in Jesus' word and experiencing the overflow of blessing that comes with faithful obedience. Now, like Simon, we are called to listen to Jesus' instructions, you know, step beyond our limitations and witness the abundance that will follow. It will blow your mind. And here's the thing about it. The more we do that, the easier it becomes. The more that we trust him in faith, the easier it is to do it the next time that he calls us to the next level, to do something even greater in our lives. You see, this week, can you actively seek opportunities to deepen your trust in God, whether it's through prayer, whether it's through your Bible study, or maybe it's stepping out in faith, okay? Invite Jesus into your everyday challenges and look for how he may be leading you to some deeper waters. You know, I like what the Word tells us. The Word says that we need to pray without ceasing. The Word says that in all things, with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God. Well, what are all things? Does that mean the simple little things in your life? Yes. Can that mean simply going down the road, making a decision? Maybe even it's where you're going to go eat lunch. I believe that. You know, there are times that I seek the Lord in even those simple little things because I want to be faithful to him. I want to be obedient to him. So, yeah, are you going to this week take these moments to actively seek those opportunities to deepen your trust in God? Do it through your prayer. Yeah, dedicate that prayer time if you don't already. Bible study. I'm not talking about just picking it up and reading it. I'm talking about picking it up and reading it and asking God to reveal Himself to you through that word. Study that Bible. Or maybe stepping out in faith. You just invite Jesus into those everyday challenges and look for how He might be leading you to those deeper waters. Remember, guess where the fish are? They're not over here where you're standing ankle deep in the water. The fish are out there. The blessings are out there in the deep water. And He calls us to deep water doings. Remember, the greatest catches in life often come when we choose to trust and obey in the leading of our Master. I'm going to pray for you in just a moment that God will give you the grace to be able to do that this week as you move through your life. But I want to tell you about what we're going to be looking at next week. We're going to continue a look at the miracles. This week, for your Bible reading, I want you to spend some time in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. And next week, we're going to look at the fourth sermon in our miracle series, and that is casting out an unclean spirit, particularly out of the passages of Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. So I pray that you'll be read and studied up on that particular chapter as we gather together next week around the word of our Lord. So let's pray together as we dismiss our time here together today. Father, as we come to you, we're again grateful and thankful for the fact that you don't leave us, don't forsake us. Lord, we're grateful that you still call us to do some incredible things for you, and it's not for because of our power, but Lord, it's because we are faithful and obedient to follow what you have in our hearts and in our lives. So Lord, right now, I pray that through this week, we truly will seek those opportunities to deepen that trust in you. Lord, I pray that you will show up in a big way through our prayers. Lord, that you will show up in a big way through our Bible study this week as we spend time with you. And Lord, I pray that as you call us to step out into those deep waters, even though they're scary, I pray that when we do so, that we realize that we're going to have a 100% trust and a 100% reliance upon you, because out in the deep water, we don't make it without you. So, Lord, I pray that you will give very, very clear direction to us through that Bible study and through your word. And, Lord, I just ask that today, as we go through the challenges of our lives, that you will help us truly to look towards you and see how you want to be involved in those situations and how you want to do something so incredible in our lives that no man can take credit for it, but your honor and glory would come forth through the circumstances and situations that they will see in our lives as we're faithful, as we're obedient. So Lord, give us a great week as we follow you. Lead us to somebody who needs encouragement or needs to hear our story about you. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey folks, again, I want to thank you for spending these moments with us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church located in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I want to extend a personal invitation to you to come join us for our Sunday worship service. Our worship services start at 10:45 a.m. In the sanctuary. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina, right across from the Military Academy, if you are familiar with this particular area. I always like to mention we do have other discipleship opportunities. We have Sunday school classes. We do have Awana for our kids during the time that school is in session. They do take the summer off. And we have small groups. We have what we call D groups, discipleship groups, small groups. We have some men's groups and some women's groups. Would love for you to be a part of that. If you are able to make it on Sunday, be sure to introduce yourself to me and say, hey, I saw you on the Wednesday Bible study. Again, my name is Pastor Roy. As always, if there's anything that we could do to help you in your spiritual walk, don't hesitate to contact us through our website or by phone. All that information is listed on our website, which is www.oakridgecbc.org. And I pray that I will see you on Sunday. God bless. Have a great week.